Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Sports Daily continues. Shane and Bruce with you after the Red Rocks talk. We got to a little bit of Royals baseball as KC lost to Cincinnati last night 5-1. They'll wrap up their little two-gamer tonight. You can hear that game right here on KFH, your home of the Royals. And right now on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline, we've got Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald talk about what's coming next and when. First of all, Tony, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks again for taking the time. Omaha at last check, 29-34. Bruce and I were just chiding, whatever you want to call it. Alcides Escobar had his 400th consecutive game, started at shortstop for Kansas City last night, and Bruce and I were kind of wondering aloud how he'd been doing over that 400-game stretch. He's actually hit better than you might think. He's been in the 250s basically for three of the last four seasons. What is coming next for Kansas City at that position, Tony? And is he at Omaha right now? And is that person Adalberto Mondesi, who got a brief audition last year?
Yeah, well, I think he absolutely is. If you remember back a couple of 3 years ago, he would have been the Royals' top prospect. He's kind of graduated from the prospect tag just because he's had enough major league time now. But he's an uber athletic guy. Obviously, his dad was a major league all-star, so he comes from a good gene pool. Lightning fast, has a little bit of pop in the bat, can get to about any ball because he's so athletic. And I thought that he would have fit into the Royals' plan somewhere in the middle infield this year. Mm-hmm. With the versatility of Whit Merrifield, obviously Mondesi can play a little bit of second too. But it seemed like he got a slow start to the year just because he was injured and wasn't with the team right as the year started. So it took him a little while to get going. And then more recently, a hamstring injury kept him out of the lineup for a couple of 3 weeks. Now, they never actually put him on the disabled list, but he wasn't playing every day. And then when he did come back, he would play 2 days and sit for one. And he's finally now just getting back to full speed. And we saw that over this last homestand. And I would think that he would probably be in Kansas City sooner rather than later. And whether that's he comes up and fills in at a time, or whether that's because they finally decide to pull the plug on the Escobar streak and just go ahead and turn it over to Mondesi, because he is the future of the position.
Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald covers the Omaha Storm Chasers. We're glad to have him on this morning. Who are the most intriguing possibilities at Omaha right now? Realizing that if there was anyone really that intriguing, we probably might have seen them. We've got Hunter Dozier up in Kansas City, obviously, so we're getting a pretty good glimpse of that. But beyond that, Tony, who do you really like right now? Who's got major league intrigue written on him in your estimation?
Well, I would say Mondesi is probably far and away the guy as far as position players go. I do think there are a couple of guys with within the pitching staff that could be interesting here down the stretch. Obviously, we've seen a little bit of Trevor Oakes when he's been up, and Scott Barlow's been up too. Both of those guys were guys that the Royals were high on. They also have Heath Philmeyer on the 40-man roster, and I'm not really sure that he's ready as of yet, but maybe by the end of the year that could be a case. The guy you might want to watch out for pitching-wise is Josh DeMont, who had been a starter, and then they started this year having him throw out of the bullpen. This is a kid that can touch 100. He's considered to have one of the best breaking balls within the Royals system too. And he was just lights out of the bullpen for Omaha for the first half of the season. And then when Barlow went up more recently, they've slid him back into the starting rotation again. And I'm sure that's just to give the Royals options here going forward. And he's made three starts. And although he hasn't gone past the fifth in those starts, just because they're building his pitch count up, he's only given up a couple of earned runs. The problem with Josh is he just lost a little bit of his control last year, started walking a few guys. His walks are down this year, and he's only walked, I think, two guys within those three starts. and he's a strikeout machine. He's one of the best pitchers in the Pacific Coast League when it comes to striking out batters. Just got a real gift in that arm, and I think they just needed to get him a little more seasoned. But I would expect that he would help the Royals out at some point, even though he's not on the 40-man roster as of yet, whether they bring him up to use him out of the pen later in this season or maybe even get to crack to make the starting lineup or starting rotation, rather, towards the back half of the year, too.
49 strikeouts and 34 innings to Tony's point. Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald talking what's down on the farm. And Trevor Oakes just recently got sent back to Omaha, as Tony mentioned. He's a starter, and he was up in KC filling in out of the bullpen, so he's heading back to Omaha so he can get back to starting once again. Jason Adam, who has been up for, 3 weeks or so. Tony, in your estimation, is he up to Kansas City to stay?
I think so. He's pretty good, and we only saw him briefly here in Omaha this year, and I think it was kind of the way it was when he first came up here before. He's just not a guy that had spent a lot of time in AAA, but there was no denying the talent. And there are a couple of other arms that are in Omaha right now that are kind of the same way, where you felt like they just needed to get a little more seasoning before they went up there, and I was actually kind of surprised that Adam got the call as quickly as he did. But you can't deny the arm and the talent, and I think the Royals, you know, with some of these young arms, can really rebuild that bullpen, because, you know, we have a pretty good idea that trades are going to be coming, and that bullpen may look a lot different at the end of the year than what it has here in the first half of the season for them. And I think that, you know, Adam's one of those guys that maybe factors into a bigger role, you know, going forward. I don't know if he's the closer type guy, but he certainly can be a setup guy, and, they can get back to when they were going one inning, when the Royals bullpen was at its best here in recent years. I think there are some arms here that they can play with a little bit. They have a couple of guys in Kansas or in Omaha rather that could get to Kansas City that have been in the big leagues before, in addition to guys that, you know, I think people are just starting to hear about that maybe could be a factor here in the next 2 or 3 years.
Tony, there are a lot of people obviously in Kansas that kind of grew up along with Bubba Starling as a multi-sport athlete up in Gardner, Kansas, and top draft pick. And there's been a lot of hope and anticipation, but there's been very little traction in his career. And I know he's been injured a lot and hasn't played a great deal. Where are we right now? And where do you think the Royals institutionally are with Bubba Starling?
Well, I think the Royals have been very patient, and probably more patient than a lot of fans have been, because they've wanted Bubba to get to that level ever since he was drafted, you know, mostly because he was a local guy. You know, they seemed very invested with him as a player and an athlete, and the Royals obviously made a, you know, sound financial investment in him, and when they signed him to a signing bonus that was the biggest in club history. The injury thing has been really unfortunate for Bubba, and it was very ill-timed too, because if you look back a couple of years ago, and I'll even tell a little story, you know, there's a lot of interest in Bubba up here in Omaha too, because he had signed to play at Nebraska and was going to be a quarterback for the football team. Actually arrived on campus right before he signed with Kansas City. So there's always been this Nebraska infatuation with Bubba, and when was he going to eventually get to Nebraska as a baseball player? And what did Nebraska miss out on as a quarterback, you know, when Bubba signed to play football? So I went down, actually, this would have been a couple of seasons ago, and watched him in a game at AA Northwest Arkansas. And it was the middle of the year. He was struggling just to kind of see where I felt like he was at. And that night he struck out 3 times, would have struck out a 4th, except for the guy hit him with a 2-strike pitch. And then he dropped a ball on the warning track in the outfield that cost him a run in a 1-run game. This was a Thursday night, and I came back to Omaha and I did a little bit on our World Herald radio show that next day. And I said, we are never going to see Bubba Starling in Omaha. Just off of the one night thing, because it just seemed like he was so lost at that moment. The very next day on the Friday, the Royals promoted him to Omaha just to give him a fresh start. So right after I had said, we're not going to see him at all, he was there the very next day. And of course he came out and homered in his very first game. And so it kind of gave him a reset. Now he did struggle the back half of that year and got off to an awful start last year, but somewhere about mid-May to late May last year, he really started turning things around, and he hit 300 over the last half of the year. And you felt like, okay, this guy has finally figured something out, whatever it is. And then sure enough, he had the oblique injury last year that sidelined him pretty much the rest of the year. And that's the same thing he's now dealing with again. It's been constant. It started last year when he tried to throw a guy out of the plate up in Iowa. And, they said it was a strange thing to, like, Hunter Dozier was dealing with an oblique injury last year too. And they said, you know, it's more to happen like that on a big swing or something like that. And Bubba did it on a throw initially. And now I think it's been four times that the oblique has acted up on him. And this one's cost him now quite a while. I think he's only played around 11 games.
11.
From
yeah.
Point. So yeah. Yeah. So it's been unfortunate because you felt like this guy had finally turned a corner and there was a chance that maybe this would be the year that we might see him finally get to the big leagues, even if it's only a September promotion. But until he's able to play every day and, you know, get a lot of timing in, I just don't know how willing the Royals are going to be ready to put him up at that level until he gets a ton of at-bats here at AAA. And like I said, he was playing really, really well when that all started last year. And unfortunately, it's kind of been more time off than on since then.
Don't want to mean to put you on the spot, Tony, but who's he remind you of? You know, scouts always have to tell their GM, this guy is this guy in the big leagues. Who's Bubba Starling remind you of in the big leagues? Anybody come to mind?
Not right off the top of my head because he's just such a different guy. I mean, the bat speed when he makes contact is, you know, just out of this world. Mm-hmm. So you think of, you know, some of your top hitters in baseball when it comes to that kind of thing. I mean, he can really mash the ball. But athletically in the outfield, he looks different out there because you'd expect a guy who was going to be a football player to be this big, huge guy. And Bubba's actually like kind of a tall, slender guy at this stage of the game, you know. And he's super athletic. He gets to balls with ease, gets a very good jump on everything in the outfield. You know, they've said all along that they felt like he was a big league ready defensive player all along. It was just a matter of bringing the bat along. And, you know, here we are 3 or 4 years later from when we thought that we might see him eventually get to the big leagues, you know, still waiting. So, you know, for Bubba's sake, I hope he does get healthy sometime soon. I'd really like to see what could happen if he actually has some time in the lineup, you know, regularly. And if he could continue that path that he was on, you know, towards the end of last season, I think there's a chance that he may eventually get there, although it'll be much too late for, I think, for much Royals fans because they've been waiting for a long time.
Wouldn't appear to be too many cracks to fall through in Kansas City with the type of club that they are. So what do we make of Frank Schwindel then and where he is with this franchise? He wasn't on the 40-man roster. He mm-hmm. was with the big league club in spring training. So where are we with this guy who's been uber productive at every stop along the way with the Royals in their chain?
Yeah, see, I've kind of wondered that too because, you know, he was a guy obviously last year, you know, just raked after he got off to a little bit of a slow start in Omaha, and he was the minor league hitter of the year last year. And yet, you know, he wasn't a guy that was put on the 40-man at the end of the season last year. And you're like, okay, maybe they just want to see just a little bit more out of him to make sure that it's going to be there. And Frank did get off to a slow start, but, you know, he's on that path once again this year where now he's just taken off. He leads Omaha in home runs. Been very productive as of late. I think he went through a stretch from late May where he was hitting like almost 400 and had a bunch of extra base hits. I think he had three doubles and six homers in that stretch. And, you know, I think it came down to, you know, when the Duda deal happened and they were able to get a major league caliber first baseman already, then they didn't have to rush one of these guys from the minors. The interesting thing about it was that Schwindel has always been right there with Ryan O'Hearn. And O'Hearn, mm-hmm. who's a left-handed hitter with a lot more power, at least projects to have a lot more power, has always been the guy that has been considered the prospect of the two, except for the last couple of years. You know, Schwindel's been the guy who's been, you know, more productive at the plate. And it's kind of trending that way now again this year, although I don't think O'Hearn's had a bad year either. And they have been playing Ryan a little bit in the outfield just in case there's a chance to use both of them down the road, much like they did with Hunter Dozier. But I think that at some point you got to really take a look at Schwindel up there and just to see what he would give you. And, you know, Duda obviously was signed with the intention of playing first base this year, but not necessarily beyond. And, you know, when Dayton Moore was here before the season started, you know, he said that they wanted to make sure they did that. And that was the same with the Escobar deal and everything else. We didn't want anybody in Kansas City blocking anybody that was our potential future at that position. But at the same time, you know, those friendly deals, as far as the Royals go, that allowed short contracts, you know, not much investment, allowed them to keep a major league guy in the major leagues right now and maybe let these other guys get a little more seasoning, whether it's Mondesi or Schwindel or O'Hearn. But I think at some point you kind of have to see what you got, don't you?
Yeah. Talking to Tony Boone yep. from the Omaha World Herald. Those are the two guys that I was kind of concentrating on. Bruce asked about Schwindel. Of the guys that aren't on the 40-man right now, who is the most likely to be to have his contract purchased, as they say, and put on it? Is it one of those two guys or somebody else, Tony?
I would say it was one of those two guys if you're talking about a position player, at least of guys in Omaha. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't somebody somewhere else that they could promote over the top of that. But I think that, you know, a lot of the Royals' best talent, young talent, is at either A or high A right now. I would expect that, you know, maybe we see those guys in Omaha, if not late this year, then maybe next year. I don't know other than those two, if there's someone else that really sticks out, unless they're looking for, you know, another infielder that can fill the role that Ramon Torres kind of has. If some trades happen to take away some veterans, you know, do you need a backup infielder? If that's the case, I think they look at a guy like Humberto Arteaga, who is only a 24-year-old infielder. He plays every position other than first base, and he went on a stretch here where he had, I think, 8 multi-hit games over a 9-game stretch here recently, and has just really, really played well also. There's also another guy, and he doesn't hit the ball a ton, but he's like a human highlight reel in the field, and his name is Jack Lopez, and a lot of the Lopezes that everyone seems to know about in the Kansas City system would be Nicky Lopez, right, who's the actual prospect, who's, you know, he's kind of waiting at Double A for Mondesi to go up because he's the shortstop down there. Also a guy that a lot of local people here are interested in because he played collegiately at Creighton. But Nicky Lopez has been a great all season, and I think we'll see him in Omaha before the end of the year. But Jack Lopez has been picking everything at shortstop, third, and second for Omaha here. And if it comes up to, you know, the Royals just needing a guy that can play multiple infield positions, I wouldn't be surprised if either Arteaga or Lopez was a guy that they maybe looked at the end of the year to be that third infield guy if they need a guy in the middle. But that's not necessarily something that's going to help them out down the road. It's more like a fix for now. But neither one of those guys is on the 40-man, and I could see them getting the shot at one point or the other, but never probably in an everyday role.
Tony, great job. Appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, you bet. Take care anytime.
Okay. Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald. Omaha Storm Chasers are 29-34. And from that picture that you just painted, doesn't sound like anybody's absolutely kicking down the door of Kansas City.
Nope.
So I guess we'll just have to wait. And I think we probably both realized that before the conversation, that the prospects are a little lower than the AAA
level.
They're
lower.
Yeah, so it'll be knocking on the door of Omaha rather than Omaha knocking on the door of Kansas City. A offer for our KFH listeners, of course, and it's a tremendous one. MyPillow.com. You go click on the two-pack special, and you get two premium MyPillows for one low price plus free shipping. I've been crowing about it for about a month now, and I'm telling you, when you lay your head down on a MyPillow, you don't move. And it's not tossing and turning. There's no punching of the pillow. There's no folding. There's no multiple pillows that you have to stack. You don't have to scrunch them together. And you don't have to flip them in the middle of the night. All that stuff that I just talked about interrupts your sleep or prevents you from sleeping. That's not sleeping. You lay your head down on a MyPillow, you're not going to have to deal with any of that stuff. You heard Ryan talk about it on the Royals broadcast, and now you're hearing me talk about it because it works. MyPillow has improved my sleep drastically, and now you can experience that kind of sleep that I've been getting from MyPillow over the last month or two. If you're like me, you're going to get the best night's sleep you ever had. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you try it and don't like it, you can return it, but you won't. And it also comes with a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, get two premium MyPillows for one low price plus free shipping, but you got to enter the promo code KFH. If you've been waiting, I'm not sure what you're waiting for, so don't wait any longer. MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, enter promo code KFH. U.S. Open Twitter question when we come back. Shane and Bruce, Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.